how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you, and in the grave who will give you thanks? You know, there is a tendency in man to place a price on things. When I checked last, the price of a troy ounce South African gold Krugerrand was worth a little over $1,600. This was just a few days ago. I want you to know gold is really nothing more than asphalt in heaven, where, according to mythology theology, the streets of glory are paved with it. In the United States, our whole value of worth was once based upon a thing called the gold standard. That was the net worth of America at that time. And we used to have that based upon the gold bars in Fort Knox. Now, Ron Paul is running for president, and he believes that those no longer exist, that they've been sold out over the years. In fact, no one has seen that gold stack for 40 years. That's what Ron Paul says. I want you to know, it probably doesn't matter anyway. We've long since traded America for other things. In 1826, Peter Minuit paid the Lenape American natives roughly $24 worth of goods for Manhattan Island. Did you know that? Now, if you invested that $24 at 6% return, the value would now be worth about $250 billion, far more than what the ground of Manhattan is worth now. You know, there's this old adage, one person's trash is another's treasure. There's this new rage in America, it's called dumpster diving. You know, you never know what trinket you might find in someone else's trash bin. I know I've done that. You know, the value of anything is really based upon what you can get at it in the trade. That's the end of the storyline. Whatever you got, the dollar bill doesn't make a difference. What you can trade is really what your value ends up at. As early as the 4th century, the trifling belief that one could sell a soul to the devil existed, and the nefarious contract was best exemplified in 756 by the legend of Faust and the figure of Mephistopheles. And in Christian folklore, the bargain with Lucifer became central to the medieval inquisitions, and I think continually kind of exist in our subconscious even to this day, though the Satanists themselves will tell you that there's no such thing as not only Satan, but there's no such thing as the soul either. So they scoff at that idea. You know, but Jesus said this. These are his words out of Matthew 10:18. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear that one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he asked this question to the disciples a little bit further on in Matthew. For what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, what would be the proper reaction to Jesus' claim and the answer to his questions? What would you say? What value is the human? Well, first we have to kind of look at the concept itself. Is there truly a human soul? And if it exists, can it indeed be valued? You know, Adam and Eve toyed with the enchanter about the meaning of this rather cryptic commandment that came from God. But of the tree of the knowledge of the good and the evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, dying you shall die. Well, the seducer came around and he kind of reframed the outcome to Eve by saying, no, you will not surely die. In fact, God knows in the day that you partake, your eyes will be opened. Now understand that the curiosity and the resentment of the king and queen of earth that the Creator would shortchange them grew a little bit as time went on and the whispers of Lucifer became even more enticing. Understand that it's the bait of street knowledge that can be so provocative. All of this flesh yearns. We all yearn for this bigger, better, more costly. I mean, that's just the way it works. And finally, Adam bartered out his mate partner like a pimp esteems an alley whore whose body is only worth the price of admission. But the consequences of swapping Eve were immediate and drastic. And though it's true that those humans didn't cease to exist at that time of that fateful decision, they were yet driven out from Eden to birth progeny that lived for hundreds of years in the vile torment of their own lust. That was the condition of man the minute we came out of the garden. And something glorious indeed was extinguished right then of tangible weight. It was that soul connection with Creator that was still silenced by the stiletto of death, eternal and irrevocable. I mean, when it took place, it was done drastically. Adam and Eve's soul died that very day. And then, of course, the very consciousness of mankind became warped and wrapped around evil continually, and now upon the termination of life, the nucleus is snatched away by something that goes to the holding place awaiting final judgment as to its merits, or immediately off to heaven if one is saved. You know, some humans believe that we're only brain cells, as responsive as the software program to the stimuli and thusly reactive. And some believe that we're programmable by hypnosis or by classical condition. And humans can only be considered as a mere electrical outlet, receiving and giving only what it's plugged into. Yet I want you to understand, despite the theories of man as to our origin and transcendence, this truth remains real. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and it became a human soul. Now understand, that's just not a quaint passing of lore. That's the absolute truth. Yes, there is a soul. Of course there is. God made it. It came from his very lungs. And if I dare to speak in a metaphor, it was mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a mud mannequin that came alive. What a powerful kind of thing to contemplate. You know, I don't believe that Satan can buy or bargain with anyone for a soul. Perhaps there are those that can be deceived into such quackery or even be willing to do some arcane ritual signing their name in blood. Johnny Blaze did this in a movie called Ghost Riders. Anybody see that? Unwittingly selling his soul to become a motorcycle stunt rider legend. And to get it back, he had to hunt down and destroy some demon spawn, including Mistopheles' own son, which he finally eradicated. And then Blaze kept on being the hellish ghost rider by his own free will to do good. You know, that's really indecent cinema. Ain't like that. Did that all by myself. But it adds weight to the imagination of our place and space. Really, really bad theology. But if one could sell one soul, I would think it would be worth more than just a few moments of passing fame, don't you think? There's a story in Scripture that comes close to such a deed. It's found in Genesis chapter 25, 29 through there. When Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field and was famished. And he said to Jacob, "Hey, give me some of that stuff you're cooking. You know, that red bean stuff. And I'm dying of starvation. I'm hungry." And Jacob said, "Wait, I'll do the deal if you'll trade me your birthright." And Esau made this statement. He said, "Behold, I'm about to die. So what use is it, this birthright?" You know, a birthright was a big deal in those days. It set you up, literally. Your status, your inheritance, your fortune is all based in those days on your birthright. But it didn't matter to this hungry man. It didn't matter at all, because he was right then starving, and for immediate gratification, he said, "Sure, I'll make the deal. I'll make it." The soul of man is intrinsically tied to the things of this earth. Soul can relate to the pride of life, and it can relate to the lust of the eyes, and it can relate to having power over people. Since we were driven out of the garden, our soul is just kind of drawn to the very elemental things that vault us up, gives us vanity. And in this Bible tale, this story of Esau and Jacob, there's this little other twist, this conniving guy called Jacob attempting to subterfuge and steal his brother's legacy. Who's the greater fool? Who's the greater fool? You know, from that certain vantage point, I want you to understand, from looking at it truthfully, that human soul that we have really can't be worth much. And we prove the lowball by the despicable manner in which we act upon Homo sapiens and treat each other with this abject kind of cruelty. We don't value one another very much at all. And I suspect that's why so many have concluded in our day and time that there is no such thing as the soul of man. It's better to ignore the obvious and run from the hard facts than to square off and offer up an alternative that requires the greater compassion. It's too hard to care. It just requires too much to really extend ourselves. It's a lot easier to turn our back on the horrible tragedies that are in front of us every day and say, therefore, "I am not like that," when in fact we may be. You know, I don't want to buy, even if I could, I wouldn't want to buy a single selfish soul, even if it could be done. And I want you to know, Lordy mercy, the devil has more than enough of these tawdry, twinkly little gizmos and then some screaming down in Hades for water and air conditioning. You don't get away from this selfishness even then. You're down there demanding. Of course, that's my imagination working overtime. Look here, though. Look at those verses. Stick right out at you, just right in your face. Well, whatever, yeah, it is. You were brought at a price. And who was it that bought us? Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That ought to make you tremble. It does me. You know, there was a time in my life, and I say this with great shame, there was a time in my life I was a drug dealer. And at one time I bought a crate of what I thought to be LSD tablets, and I paid good money for it. I hurried home, and I dropped a few tabs. Nothing happened. I ate a few more. In fact, I ate 20 of them. Nothing happened. Turns out that each one of those pills were nothing more than colored aspirin. Now, I'm a profit-oriented man, so I sold them all to school kids. They all got high, and they all came back for more, claiming that this is the best trip they ever had. The placebo effect. I can sell anything. A placebo effect. Now, you remember that quote of that saying that I said about one man's junk? You know, our worthless souls, lost and without value, became the object of intense desire by our Creator. Treasures. Yahweh simply had to have the souls that Adam bartered away. But did God purchase a bunch of sugar pills in the deal? Could be that he got the raw end of it, swapping his only son's life for the souls of mankind. And maybe God has been on an artificial high since. You know that, the most high God? Here's the quirk. No one can bargain for a soul, neither to the devil nor to God. Mankind was never put in a pawn shop. No one was ever hawked. The human soul was simply murdered, killed outright, dead in that very instant. Dead. And the primary reason why so many people feel dead inside, unhappy, and miserable is likely because they are. Here's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And to buckle this up, I use Colossians 2:13. And all of us being dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all of us our trespasses. I want you to understand that dead soul that we are born with and cannot be revived comes alive when Christ comes into us. And before then, that worthless soul is indeed absolutely without value. And the minute we get redeemed, oh my God, what are we worth? We were worth the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is incredibly charging. I have a friend of mine. Her name is Maggie. She's in her 60s.
And she knows, I don't know what happened there. I lost connection back there, guys. I'm off.
Yes. I'm off. I'm on. She knows that I'm a collector of comic books, and she called me one day and says, I've got a Superman comic book here that I think is worth something. Now, I happen to know a lot about DC Comics, and I know quite a bit about the Man of Steel. And she brought me this comic book, and I looked at that thing, and you know, I had never seen that comic before in my life. It's a first edition Superman. I know what those look like. I had never seen that comic book before. I thought, what have I got here? I went and did some hunting. 150 of these comics were produced. I had $1 million comic book in my hand right then. $1 million comic book. And Maggie and I were just going crazy because I had a split in that comic book. I thought, my days of trouble are over, until I went and had it authenticated. And of course, when I had it authenticated, it came back as a repo, worth $100 or so. But the end of this story is really the kicker. To this day, Maggie's convinced it's genuine. She still believes it is. I went through everything you could think of, except chemical testing, and I almost went there. It is not the real thing. She still believes it is. You know, until we are redeemed by our acceptance of His Son's sacrifice, our souls are only reproductions. They're not real. They're not valuable. They're counterfeit. When we are authenticated and appraised, the net worth of that human soul becomes known at that time, and only God can put a price on it because He's the only one qualified to do so. I cannot price your soul, nor can I bargain it, neither can you. But boy, God can when it's redeemed. You know, there is a tendency to put a price on things. Yes, there is. When I last checked, Kaylee Anthony's life wasn't valued as much as Betsy Ford's. But I would bet all that you want that America has spent more money on Kaylee's death than on the First Lady's funeral. You know, God paid for all of our souls equally. His Son died for us all equally. We'll have the worship team come up.
Thank you, Lord.
That we know our souls are indeed valuable to You, that You have placed us as priceless. That the minute we become Yours, we have a standing that is of great value, and we thank You for it. Amen.